Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your very busy schedule to join me on the broadcast. I started a new series this past Monday on a very important topic about women leadership in the church. Being a voice for suffering women in the Middle East also translates and requires me as well to be a voice for the suffering women struggling against the male hierarchy in our church. This is not a topic I wish I had to address. It's very controversial. There are very fierce opponents to women leadership in the church because those people, those denominations, see the scriptures creating a hierarchy in that a woman submits to her husband, the husband is the leader of the home, the male is the only one they can pastor a church according to gender, according to their thinking, according to their biblical interpretation. As I mentioned, being a voice for suffering women in the Middle East requires me to address this very, very important topic because it translates again in what I believe is gender discrimination against women. We see that in Islam and in many world religions. We should never see this type of situation in God's church. I wrote a book just last August. It was published called Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes. And what I have decided to do for the next several weeks is to talk to you from the heart about my book, to read from it, to quote from it, and then to speak to you. If you are a woman listening to this broadcast and you believe you have the gifts and callings to teach, but you're afraid to speak up in the church because of this issue, I want to encourage you. As I read last week, women are like the ancient mythical phoenix bird rising up from their ashes and speaking out. A prominent Bible teacher, very well known, who teaches wonderful, great expositional Bible studies, Beth Moore, has sounded her voice. She had belonged to the Southern Baptist Convention, the Southern Baptist Church, for many years. There has been abuse and reports of many things happening in the Southern Baptist churches that's been all over the internet. And Beth Moore has raised her voice. And she will be criticized for that if she hasn't already been. But I join with her as a prominent Bible teacher to say enough is enough. What I want to do this morning is read to you from section one of my book, Broken Yet Beautiful. It's entitled A History of Oppression. Now, this will take some time to develop. So over the next several weeks, we will probably still be in chapter one, section one, but I don't want to rush this. This needs to be developed. It needs to be taught. It needs to be explained. Chapter one in my book is entitled, no hierarchy in Genesis. Beauty comes from brokenness. A broken ground becomes a garden. Broken seeds become flowers. Broken grain becomes bread. Broken clouds produce rain. A broken cocoon releases a butterfly. There is a profound secret in brokenness. The beauty of brokenness is marvelously illustrated in the transformation of sea glass found washed up on beaches all over the world. My dear friend Teresa, writing in her excellent blog entitled Linen and Silk, Letters from My Garden, has beautifully captured how the mundane pieces of sea glass discovered buried deep down in the sandy beaches can become an exquisite treasure from its broken pieces. And she writes, some beaches and hidden coves are treasure groves of gorgeous, sparkling glass that has endured years of being washed against the sand and rocks by powerful waves. Things that have been discarded and broken have become treasure. This beautiful glass is so sought after that in many places where it has been abundant in the past, it is now rarely found. Think about what I'm speaking about here, sea glass. Have you ever seen sea glass? Each piece of glass is unique and beautiful. When a beach is covered with treasure, it is like a piece of artwork made by God. Dale Chilhuly is a glass artist who has a work called, quote, Persian Ceiling. The colors he has used to create a masterpiece like a weaving or a painting of smooth, sparkling glass. While the concept of broken glass found on beaches being transformed into works of art is a poignant example of brokenness to beauty, yet the most profound illustration of this concept is found in the incarnation of Christ. So now we're going from the mundane pieces of broken glass that are assembled into great exquisite jewelry. We're going from that illustration to the supreme illustration. And let me read. The very king of the universe stepped down from his lofty throne in heaven, discarded his royal robes of righteousness, and instead clothed himself in human flesh. The Lord of the universe became a servant, laying aside all of his rights and privileges to become a human being, living amidst a hostile world that he had created for his glory. Jesus, the God-man, became one of us. He came into a broken world to pay the ultimate price with his life, to reconcile desperate humanity from the death and bondage of sin. He allowed himself to be horribly disfigured and broken on a wooden cross in order to restore the beauty of his fallen creation. His death forever removed the ugliness of sin and guilt. Jesus became broken to reveal the beauty of his love and forgiveness. Then the king rose victorious from the dead. Once the gentle lamb, but now the fierce lion of Judah, the glorified Christ, the once broken servant, was now transformed back into the sovereign king of the universe. But first, he had to experience brokenness before beauty could be restored. Why am I saying all of this? Why the illustration from sea glass to the illustration of the incarnation of Christ? Well, very simply, here's what I'm saying. Broken yet beautiful is the story of women who have suffered oppression for thousands of years, being trampled on by misogynistic cultures, and now are now beginning to rise up and respond to their divine calling by the King of the universe. Broken is becoming beautiful again. Paradise is returning to the Garden of Eden, where the curse of sin began its ravenous grip on the souls of our first parents. Women are rising up, no longer viewing themselves as helpless victims, but as courageous survivors, refusing to no longer be dominated by the dictates of controlling men. One thing I want to point out that this book is not about. This book is not promoting some type of worldly feminism. That is not what I'm talking about. Many people in churches would say, well, Randy, you're turning the gospel into just another dictate for women and feminism. And I would say, absolutely not. I want to give you an example of one gifted woman who had the calling, who had the abilities, who had the gifts to teach. And I want you to hear her story of how she was ridiculed and what she suffered through. A perfect example of rising up from their ashes is a brave woman known as Heather, who answered God's call to be the pastor of a church in spite of the discrimination and persecution she suffered when her intentions were revealed. In a blog she wrote, which was published on CBE International, a Christian biblical egalitarian organization dedicated to biblical equality, Heather poured out her frustrations from the discrimination that she received from other so-called Christian brothers. Here's what Heather wrote. Her blog was entitled, quote, "My First Time," subtitle, "When Being Who God Made You Isn't Okay." When being who God made you isn't okay. Heather tearfully confessed to the humiliation she experienced when she read an email from her two colleagues that stated, quote, "Heather has no business being in the pulpit," end quote. The church, I thought, was supposed to be a refuge for Christians who hurt and an atmosphere where the qualities of love, respect, and unity are to rule instead of backbiting and discrimination because of one's gender. Heather explained her journey to becoming a woman pastor in an interdenominational church, quote, "I knew that God had made me to communicate his truth, to be my authentic self and talk to people about the God of the universe who created and loves them. I am uniquely made and I am gifted. I'm a communicator. God made me this way on purpose and gave me this desire. I didn't grow up in a church world, but I'm not naive. I knew there might be some pushback to a young woman preaching. I didn't realize it would hurt so much or feel so personal. I felt stripped, naked, void of value, and broken." This is what Heather confessed in this blog about the way her peers, her Christian colleagues, treated her. She's referring to the email comments that were personal, hateful, and filled with the pride of a male hierarchy worldview. Here's some of the comments. "Women shouldn't be allowed to pray if there are men available. This will bring the church nothing but trouble. Women are ruled out as teachers or leaders over men." These are some of her email comments. However, despite the criticism, Heather rose up from the ashes of discrimination and embraced her calling from God. Now, you can hear the tears in what this woman writes, but you can also see the courage of someone who believes, look, God has gifted me. God has called me. I'm not ever endorsing people to preach or teach unless they have the gifts and callings and the training. I'm not trying to make it wide open, but if a person has genuinely been called by God, whether they're male or female, should have nothing to do with it, and they have the gifts and the callings and the training, then that person has a responsibility to obey God's calling. But what we have seen, as I mentioned, in past years is much abuse in the Southern Baptist Church. I want to give you another example of unbiblical gender discrimination, and I'm talking about the sad, sad case of Paige Patterson. Paige Patterson was president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. On May 22, 2018, he was removed from that prestigious position for failing to report to the police the rape of a student back in 2003. Instead of urging the victim to immediately leave the situation, here's what Mr. Patterson did. He persuaded her to forgive her perpetrator. During several other private counseling sessions, Page encouraged abused women to submit to their husbands instead of instructing them to leave their relationships for physical safety. Page Patterson really displays a warped and unhealthy view of the so-called doctrine of submission and has interjected a false concept of what the Bible actually teaches. He has invested new and unbiblical connotations to the word submission that could have resulted in many cases to serious harm to these women. Again, we're going to look later on in depth about when the Bible uses the term submit, what does it mean? How is Paul using that term in context? So again, we are going to take this twice a week, slowly, deliberately, because I want these concepts, I want this book, this teaching to be ingrained in your thinking. As we begin our fruitful journey to what the Bible teaches about God's design for women to be effective leaders and pastors in his church, I want to pause here for a few moments and invite you to bathe in the healing grace of God's precious promises that's found in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4 says, I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. And then finally, in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, a beautiful promise of healing grace from God. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. I want to sum up some things for you. What I've been talking about this morning is an example of brokenness to beauty, which is the title of my book, Broken Yet Beautiful. We have looked at how mundane sea glass is transformed into something of beauty. And most importantly, we have gazed at the greatest act in human history, that is the incarnation of God manifesting himself in the flesh, coming in the person of Christ, who received our brokenness in his spirit, in his body. And in order for beauty to be the result of brokenness, he had to suffer. And what I'm saying is that women, in the same way, have been broken, have been oppressed, have been abused, and now are rising up from their ashes to embrace the calling that God has put on their lives. Heather is one example of a brave, courageous woman who has decided to embrace her calling despite the criticism, despite the discrimination, despite the male hierarchy. And we have seen how men in prominent positions in the Southern Baptist Church have used their position in their thinking to demean and discourage women. And one such person was Page Patterson, who told women in an abusive situation, submit to your husband. Somehow God will bring him to salvation. God will change his heart. But in the midst of what I believe is unbiblical advice, he put these women in very dangerous positions. And so what I want to do right now, based on everything I have spoke to you about, I want you to hear this beautiful song from Big Daddy Weave. And if you're a woman and you want to teach and preach, I suggest that you just pour out your soul as a beautiful offering to God. Let's listen.
Thank you. and all my tears, I give it all to you. Every trial and greatest gain, every failure and darkest stain, every moment of all these years, I give it all to you. Take this broken life I bring, make it a beautiful offering, a beautiful offering. All I am laid at your feet, make me a beautiful offering, a beautiful offering to you, to you. Every season and every step, every heartbeat and every breath, every battle that brought me here, I give it all to you. Take this broken life I bring, make it a beautiful offering, a beautiful offering. Your love changes everything, make me a beautiful offering, a beautiful offering. You have ransomed all I am, and now all I am is yours. You have ransomed all I am, now all I am is yours. Take this broken life I bring, make it a beautiful offering, a beautiful offering. Your
a beautiful song of worship from Big Daddy Weave, which is so prominent and so perfect for our theme today, from brokenness to beauty, the song called Beautiful Offering. Beginning on Monday, we're going to get into the teaching of Scripture, and I'm going to take us into the book of Genesis. We're going to go over some very specific themes and try to answer the critics that assert and say that God's hierarchy, his male hierarchy, began in the Garden of Eden. Here's the point. If we do not find in the book of Genesis this particular concept, if there are other ways to look at the text, and if it's not found there, then we will have to conclude that this whole idea of a structure and an order of the male is the tradition and thinking of men rather than the plain teaching of Scripture. I want to make one thing really clear. I submit myself to the authority of the Bible. It is God's word, not mine. And I'm very careful to point out that what I am doing in this series is respectfully responding to this whole concept by demonstrating that this particular teaching in the church has been distorted from what the Bible really teaches. There are groups that are on the other side called egalitarian that believe in total biblical equality compared to the complementarians that believe that there is equality, but that man is the head, man is the leader, man is in charge. And we're going to respond in a respectful way to this viewpoint. For those that hold to this structure, this seems radical. It seems like a feminist attack on Scripture, and it's everything but that. It is saying to this teaching that there is another way to look at these particular verses that seem to teach on the surface that women are disqualified from teaching in the church. And what I'm going to do on this series is to offer another viewpoint. And that's what we're going to do. So if you're a woman listening to The Cross in the Desert, I want to encourage you to be here and listen to the broadcast. Also, my book is available up on Amazon.com in both paperback and Kindle. I believe in this short little book, there's a lot there for you to consider, and I would encourage you, if you have an opportunity, to purchase this book, because I want you to follow along and read it and consider the viewpoints even when you're not listening to the podcast. It is a book that required an awful lot of dedication and research on my part. I'm not the final word. I'm not the expert on this, but I do have something to say, and I think it's valuable. And so if you're broken, consider that God is going to make you beautiful again. He is going to help you to rise up from this discrimination and male hierarchy. God's church is a church that is supposed to be blessed with love and unity without any gender discrimination whatsoever. Equality is the word we're talking about, and that's what I'm going to be speaking about to you from the heart on the next several broadcasts. So again, Monday at 9:30, I'll be live. And again, next Thursday at this time, 9:30, I will be live. I encourage you to be here and to be blessed and encouraged by this teaching. I want to say God bless you. Have a great weekend, and I will see you again Monday on The Cross in the Desert.